a couple to share. As we get ready to hear God's word, would you turn into James chapter 5? James chapter 5. Now, I mentioned to you that James, this very half-brother of Jesus Christ, got a reputation. He was known as camel knees. And I guess his knees got hard because he made it a regular habit to get down on his knees and pray. I don't know if that is our custom. I'm thinking it's a good custom. It kind of humbles, it's a humbling thing to get down and pray, but I don't know that it's something that everybody has to do as a mark of spirituality. But James was saying to himself mostly that God is in control of everything in my life. He had a relationship with his half-brother Jesus Christ, not just as a member of his immediate family, but also as his Lord and Savior. And he knew the mercy and love of Jesus Christ. And that's why he wrote, and we're reading from James 5, beginning at verse 13, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop." Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can't miss it. If I were to ask you, what is this passage about? Prayer. In every sentence of this passage, it mentions the word prayer. The NIV editors even titled this section, "The Prayer of Faith." And prayer is one discipline that we all know is so very important. I would ask, take a poll of every one of you, is prayer important? We would say yes. And then if I ask the follow-up question, how's it going for you? You would do like what I'm doing when I'm asked that question. I kind of hang my head down. I could do better. I'm not going to try to guilt anybody this morning, but I'm going to remind us of the importance of prayer. See, there was a study a few years by George Barna researchers that said, on the average, people spend 40 minutes talking on the phone. Okay? More, and my own habit proves this, 4 hours on the screen of our smartphones. I did a lesson a few years ago with the senior high youth group, and so I did a track of how much time I actually used it. It's humbling. We spend 1 hour in the bathroom. That's what George Barna says here. But less than 10 minutes a day in prayer. And in fact, according to Barna, it's closer to 1 minute. We're busy people. Our schedules get in the way, does it not? When in reality, we do have time. If you really think about it, we have time to binge watch series on TVs, to practice our instruments to play, learn how to play better, to play video games. We have time for that, to go shopping, to play golf. I'm scratching all over the place here, but with intention. By contrast, you have a man like Billy Graham who is asked, if you could do your life all over again, is there anything you would do differently? You know what his answer was? This man who we know growing up as a child for his crusades and the impact that he had on the world, the integrity that he had with everything, we're saying like, man, Billy Graham is the model for us. Billy Graham said, I would preach less, I would pray more, I would study my Bible more. And so it's humbling. I think James is in that same category. James believes that prayer is important. You can't read the book of James and not see this come leaking out in every chapter. He encourages his people. The main thing that James wants to do is to tell those people, grow up. Grow up in the faith. Be more and more like Jesus every day. And that's why he begins with, what will help you to grow up? The testing of your faith produces perseverance. So count that all joy when life doesn't go as you had planned, because it's going to help you to become a better follower of Jesus Christ. And James keeps bringing this up throughout the letter. Earlier in chapter 5, he talks about the way in which we use our tongues, and we often complain. We start getting bitter at God, at others, and we complain a lot, and we use our mouth in that way. And complaining, we make rash vows, it says in verse 12. And now he's wrapping it up, and he's saying the best way that we can use our tongues is to pray. In every circumstance of our life, in our pleasures or our pain, in our joys or in our sorrows, in our struggles or in our ease, whatever we are going through in life, we need to continually cast ourselves onto the care of God. When can we pray? Number one, let's pray when we're suffering. They're all going to be S's if you're filling in the blanks. James is writing to believers who knew what it was to suffer. See, this is the same crowd that we read in Acts in Jerusalem when Stephen, the first martyr for the Christian faith, was slain. It said that people scattered, and wherever they went, they took the name of Jesus with them. They ran from trouble, but they ran into trouble all over the place. There's two dimensions to our trouble, and we need to hear this clearly. Wherever we go, trouble will follow us. One part of the problem is us. We run into trouble all the time because often the troubles that we experience are no greater or less than just us. You want to get out of one situation. Man, if I weren't in this family, says a little boy or a little girl, man, then my life would be better. Really? You think so? You think another family is going to, because you go to another family, the trouble's going to follow you. Or you're in a relationship and you think, man, if I just didn't have, if I knew what I knew when I said my vows, and here I am, and if I just had somebody else, I know it would be better. Trouble will follow us. We do that with churches. If I just had another church, the other church is going to be better. I've been to 4 other churches in my life. I've yet to find one that's better. I let that ring out there. The problem is not the church. The problem is me. That's one part of it. The other part is the other side of it. As Christians, wherever we go, there is going to be opposition. I feel sometimes if we're not facing opposition in our life, and what I don't mean is just that I'm always causing problems everywhere, but if I'm naming the name of Jesus the way I should, you should expect to be persecuted. The world does not take kindly to that. There are enemies of God. Satan hates God with a venom that is so strong, and he hates Jesus, and everybody who is in Christ reminds Satan so much of Jesus Christ that he just hates us with a vengeance, and he is not going to make life easy. Enemies of God. So James says, he addresses the conflict. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that are within? See, that's one part of it. That's that first part of it. It's when we are the problem. Most of the trouble is of our own making. On the other hand, James goes on in chapter 4, verse 4, he said, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? As long as we go along with the world will love us. We go along with the world, we're going to be their friends. Doesn't James sound a lot like his half-brother Jesus Christ, who said, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So if you find yourself in trouble today, pray. Pray. Prayers are born when life is bad. We tend to talk with God when our life is in trouble, do we not? It's a good thing. Deep down inside, we know that God is sovereign, that he rules our life. But we tend to be self-sufficient. I want to keep God within arm's length, but I really want to do what I want to do with my life. I want to play the games I play. I want to read the books I read. I want to have the life I want. And when I get in trouble, then I want God to be there to get me out of trouble so that I can go ahead doing what I want. That's not that prayer of faith. It's the kind of prayer that whatever you're going through in life, you stick to it. Prayer here is in the active form. In other words, it's present, it's ongoing, it's continual. It's the kind of prayer that you read on Daniel chapter 10. Daniel was praying to God, and all of a sudden an angel shows up, and he said, I came as soon as you started to pray, but I encountered opposition along the way. I don't know what that means, but what I was impressed with was that was 21 days earlier. Daniel didn't just offer up a prayer and then stop. He just kept at it. He continually prayed. Prayer does, or struggles do one thing consistently. And this is true in our own life too. Prayer will either draw you closer to God, troubles will either draw you closer to God, or you start saying, God, you're not giving me what I want, and you push him away. Consistently, one of those two directions. I know of people who, when you hear the story of their life, you are just like, how are you even a Christian with all those things that happened to you? But those troubles did not embitter them at all, but their sweetness of the gospel came shining through. Pray when you are in trouble. I pray that our troubles drive us closer to God. Secondly, pray when smiling. I'll go to these other ones a little faster. This was a long one, but pray when you're smiling. Is anyone happy, says James? Let them sing. Singing is our way of expressing prayer. I love looking out over the congregation in the morning when we're singing, and I see people singing with their hearts, with their faces, with their bodies. You know, they're just really, you know, I know you're singing those prayers. I see others who are not, and I don't judge those that are not. But I say to those who are singing, keep singing louder, because those who cannot sing for whatever reason and need to hear the truth of God that we're proclaiming. Singing is good. Sing when you're smiling. Even if you don't sing well, well, singing's not my thing. I don't have a good voice, some will say. But God has put a song in your heart. Express it. Pray in song. Circumstances of life can be overwhelming. But when it is well with our soul, the joy will spill over from the inside out. I love Paul's example. Paul was on a ship in Acts 27. The ship was just about to be destroyed. And you know what he told those people there? He said, be of good cheer. Keep your courage. The ship is going to be wrecked, but be of good cheer. Be happy. Now, he wasn't just being trite about that, saying, oh, well, whatever. But he was reminding them that the boat is about to sink, but cheer up. God is watching over you. It's going to be okay. The truth is, just as trouble can drive us away from God, so when everything goes well in our life, when life turns out exactly the way we expect it, it can also drive us away from God. There is a genuine danger of falling asleep when we get our way all the time. Now, you think of Paul and Silas proclaiming Jesus in Philippi, and they were beat up for it. We don't have the whole conversation, how that went, but I can imagine that it was not easy, that they were, you know, to get beat up, to be humiliated like that, thrown in jail, was not easy. And I wonder what that conversation was like. I don't feel like singing right now, Paul. Neither do I. Maybe we should, because it'll do our hearts good. And so they began to sing. And as that song went to heaven, God shook the place in which they were, and everybody heard the gospel in a way that they weren't able to hear beforehand, because the testimony that God is greater than our circumstance came ringing through loud and clear. And that night, a jailer and his whole family was saved because of that testimony. Let your happiness, when things are going well in your life, remember God is the one who brought you there. Thirdly, pray when you sin. Pray when you sin. Not while you are sinning, but pray when you sin. Sin must be confessed. Cut it at its source. One of my favorite prayers of John Bailey, who I read regularly for my morning and evening prayers, he said, "Do not let the sins of yesterday be repeated in my life today, or let the life of today set an evil example for tomorrow." Always confess and show the fruit of your confession by turning from sin. The assuring words that we hear from 1 John, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have no sin, if we pretend our life is good as it is, we're making him out to be a liar, him who said, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Unconfessed sin hinders the effectiveness of our prayer. Number 5, let's pray for the saints. Pray for one another. A praying congregation is a congregation that's growing in their faith. The principle is that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We need to pray for one another. You'll notice if you are in this passage, you might have been like, "I want to know about this anointing oil, Pastor." I kind of skipped over it because I'm not 100% sure what to do with it. I have anointing oil. I have used it. But I think that there's something more going on with that prayer. Pray for one another. If you are sick, what did they say to do? call the elders. The elders are here as part of their calling before the face of God to pray with you when you are sick, or really when you are weak. There's not a specific sickness that they're talking about there. But when you're feeling weak spiritually, emotionally, touch base with your elders. I pause this message to give an unashamed plug. November 2 and November 9, we are going to have what we call family visits. Individuals and families will be invited to sign up and to talk to the elders. Here's your opportunity. Sometimes I think it's a two-way communication. Let us know what you're going through. Not only your sorrows, but your joys, so that we can rejoice with you when you're rejoicing, that we can weep with you when you're weeping. That's what the elders are there for. And I think the oil kind of distracts, because suddenly it becomes like, did you use enough oil? How much? Did you do it in the right way? Did you make the sign of the cross on the head? I have prayed with people who have asked for healing in some way, and I've seen God answer more often than not. I've seen God answered their prayers in wonderful ways. But I've also seen God did not answer the prayers in which we've prayed them. And in both instances, I think the challenge is it's going to be okay, because the sovereign God who is over all is going to make our lives turn out exactly the way that He designed. And when we lock into that, life is good. Not easy, but good. Pray always. That is the challenge. We'll be looking at this more later on. Not even going to talk about Elijah now. The point about Elijah here is that he was a man just like us. We think the prophets of old are on a pedestal somewhere. They're not. They're just people like all of us. But they're people who have a relationship with God, who speak with Him regularly, who go where He directs them to go. May that be said of all of us. Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you for these words, for the encouragement for all of us to pray. I want to do a better job as a praying pastor. We want to do a better job as praying elders. We need to do a better job as a praying church. And I ask, Lord, that you will help us to that end, that you will lead and direct us so that your name may be glorified in our lives. Help us to, in all of the circumstances of our life, to keep our eyes fixed on you and yet live out our lives fully engaged in the life that you have called us to and that you have equipped us for. We know you will never leave us or forsake us. So make us like little lights that shine in the darkness, that shine into the disappointment of people's troubled lives and into the darkness and emptiness of superficial happiness, so that you might be known and praised. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us say thank you to God in the giving of our tithes and our offerings today for World Renew, which is working